If you'd open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, we're continuing a series in the life of Abram, the life of Abraham, as he will come to be called. This morning we'll be reading Genesis chapter 13, and our text will be the same. As we come to God's Word, if you would join me in prayer. For the reading and the preaching of God's Word. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you that you have not left us without a witness, but that you have given us your Word. You have, by your providence, caused your Word to be preserved, that we might have your truth given to us. And now, as we hear your Word read, as we receive the preaching of your Word, might it be done in a way that is honoring to you, is truthful and according to all that your Word teaches. And might you work by your Spirit in us, by the preaching of your Word, to bring about change in our hearts, that we might love you more, that we might walk according to all that you command us to do. And we ask this, God, for the sake of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beginning in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, hear now the word of God. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Well, if you recall, last week we saw Abram going down into Egypt because of a famine. And he goes down into Egypt and he's afraid of the people of Egypt. He lies about his wife Sarai, saying that she is his sister. And God then, in spite of everything that Abram does, delivers him out of Egypt. And even then, with great wealth, Pharaoh pays Abram a bride price and then sends him away with his wife and with all that he had. And so we pick up then the story of Abram coming up from Egypt. And notice what Moses, who is the author of this account, tells us. Abram went up, in verse 1, from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. So a point is made here to tell us and to remind us that he's coming out with his wife, who he almost lost in Egypt. Sarai, who would be then the mother of Isaac and the mother of the children of Israel, the grandmother, as it were, the great-grandmother of the 12 tribes. But also then Lot is given to us here in verse 1. Lot comes with him, and Lot's going to play a prominent role in this chapter and in chapter 14 as Lot is taken captive, and later on in chapters 18 and 19 as God deals with Sodom and Gomorrah. But notice what Abram does. He comes up out of Egypt, and in verse 4, he comes back to the place between Bethel and Ai where he had made an altar, and he worships God. And we're not told the content of his worship, but as we think about why Abram would have reason to worship God, I think it's right to understand that he would have come to God with confession. He'd sinned in Egypt, and yet God had delivered him. And so he comes and praises God, confesses his sin, but also offers thanksgiving to God that God would have rescued him from the hand of the Egyptians and brought him out and brought Sarai out. Now, Abram is going to be asked in this chapter to walk again by faith and not by sight. And we're going to see a division here. Lot is going to walk by sight. He's going to look and with his eyes see what is good. But Abram is going to be called upon to walk by faith in the promises of God. And that's what Abram is called to do. That's what we're called to do as God's people. And so that's the question that should be in the back of your mind as we read these things. Yes, they point us to Christ, but they point us to faith in Christ and in his promises. Because the Word of God tells us that in Christ, all of God's promises are yes and amen. But then the opposite is true. Outside of Christ, there are no promises. And so those who do not look to Christ and look elsewhere are looking for something that cannot ultimately satisfy. Now, there are key words in this chapter used over and over, and the key word is really dwell. Twice in verse 6, in verse 7, in verse 12, and in verse 18. Dwell. Where is Abram going to dwell? Where is Lot going to dwell? Is Abram going to dwell in the promised land? And in doing so, is he going to dwell with God? And as we look at chapter 13, we'll see this, that the Lord providentially separates Abram and Lot to preserve the land for Abram's descendants. The Lord providentially separates Abram and Lot to preserve the land for Abram's descendants. And we'll look at two things, the dispute over the land and the division of the land. Well, we see first the dispute over the land. Now, the reason for this dispute is because they had too many goods. Now, it's interesting. The reason that Abram had problems in chapter 12 is that he didn't have enough. There was a famine. And so he has to go into Egypt. Now, because God has blessed him, he's coming back, and the problem is that they have too much. It's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? That by God's blessings, this dispute happens. In verse 2, we're told that Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. The word in the Hebrew that's translated rich is literally heavy. So here, the picture is he was weighted down with all of these blessings that he had received. Now, we're told Lot had possessions as well in verse 5. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, we're not told that Lot had silver and gold. And we're also told that Lot, who went with Abram. Now, this is important. Abram was enriched because God was blessing Abram, but Lot was enriched because he went with Abram. Remember, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So Lot, being, as it were, attached to Abram, receives blessings from him. And that's going to come into play as we look at the foolishness of Lot's decision to separate from Abram. And these riches become a problem. There's this dispute that happens. And the Bible speaks of riches as a temptation. In fact, as we look at the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Jesus, in Mark chapter 10, says it's very difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. But what we see here is that that's not an absolute rule. Because Abram is very rich, and yet Abram is very religious. But there is an issue that arises. And the issue is the support of the land. We notice that in verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And then twice in that verse, the focus is on dwelling together. Now, it's not Abram and Lot who began this disagreement. But the parties in this dispute are their herdsmen, their shepherds. They probably had roughly 300 each, and they're warring over the land. They had flocks and herds. Water was scarce. They'd recovered from the famine, but they still needed places to graze. They needed water, and so they were probably arguing over wells, arguing over land. And to make matters worse, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, we're told in verse 7, dwelt in the land. So not only were they competing with one another, but they were competing with the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And this was a dangerous dispute. Not because the herdsmen of Lot and Abram were going to come to blows, but when they're disagreeing, who are they not watching out for? The enemies that were in the land. They're not paying attention to the Canaanites. They're not paying attention to who might come. And maybe they're arguing over this piece of land, and meanwhile, the Canaanites and the Perizzites are coming and taking other land from them. So they have a lack of safety from their neighbors. And I think that this is something that all of us have to take care to avoid, especially in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we spend time arguing amongst ourselves over things, who are we not dealing with? We have enemies in the world, the flesh, and the devil. Satan would love nothing more than to divide the church, because then he can do damage to her. But also, this would have been dangerous, and it would have been a poor witness to their neighbors. Think about this. Here, Abram comes in. Abram is publicly calling upon the Lord, and yet they're fighting amongst one another. The Canaanites in the land, the Perizzites in the land would say, well, I don't know about this God that Abram worships, but look at what their people are doing. And so again, as we think about ourselves as the people of God, that will hurt the church to argue, but also it hurts our witness to the watching world. So a warning here to us about strife. But Abram, we'll see, wants to maintain the peace. And that's a right goal. And so there's this dispute in the land, but we see the division of the land. And that begins in verse 8. Abram's the initiator here. He says, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. So here we see Abram the peacemaker. And this division is offered by Abram, and it's offered graciously. This is really an expression of Abram's faith working itself out. Now, Abram did not have to make this offer. In fact, Abram's the older one, his nephew is Lot. But Abram comes and he extends this hand of peace to Lot. He says, Lot, you choose first. Verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. If you take the right, I will go to the left. You choose. See, what Abram is interested in is the unity of the brethren. We are brethren. Psalm 133, verse 1 says that it is a blessing when brothers dwell together in unity. And that was the focus that Abram had. Now, Abram, who is the ancestor of our Lord Jesus Christ, then I think demonstrates and points as a type of Christ to the great peacemaker, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not only to bring peace between men, but most importantly, to bring peace between God and man. So Abram, looking to Christ in faith, then desires to bring peace with Lot in between these herdsmen. And he offers the land to Lot. Now, he didn't have to do this, but he does. But this, I believe, shows us something very important. He's offering this land, which we're told is currently inhabited by the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Sodomites, not by him. How does he have the right to offer this land? Now, if I came into your home with a friend and I started saying, "Do you like this TV? Well, you can have it." Or, "What do you think about that dresser set? Why don't you go ahead and take it?" You probably wouldn't be too happy with me. Why? Because I don't own those things. Why am I giving them to you? But yet Abram says, "Take the land that pleases you," because he recognizes that God has promised it to him. You see Abram's faith there. "I don't own it yet, but God has promised it to me. It is as good as done." And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to take God at his word. There are so many promises in God's word, and faith is, again, trusting in God's promises, even when we can't see it. "God, you said it. You're trustworthy. And because you don't lie, I know what you say is going to happen." That's what Abram is saying here, even by offering the land. But it's interesting because Abram says, "You choose, Lot." And there's a bit of a danger here, a threat, as it were, to the land. God has already promised to give Abram the land of Canaan, and yet Abram says, "Lot, you choose." And Lot could have chosen the land of Canaan. So the question then, if we were to stop reading right there, what's Lot going to do? Which way is he going to go? Is he going to choose the promised land and thwart all of God's plans for Abram? What's going to happen? But we see then the division, although it's offered by Abram, it's chosen by Lot. Notice verse 10, "And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar." So Lot chooses, and he does so selfishly. You see, Lot should have said, "Uncle, I appreciate this, but you choose. You have seniority." But Lot just lifts up his eyes and starts to look around. "Okay, which land is the best land? I want the best land." Now, when you compare Lot to Ruth, remember Ruth is coming back, and Naomi tells her, "Stay in your land." And what does Ruth say? "No, I want to go with you because I want to be with you and your God." Now, Lot doesn't think that way. Lot doesn't say, not only does Lot not say, "You choose first," but Lot doesn't say, "I want to stay with you, Abram. You're the one that God has said I will bless. I've been blessed because I've been with you. And I want to stay with you." But he says, "No, I'm going to look around and I'm going to pick what I view by sight only as the best land." So he lifts up his eyes and he looks, and we're told that he sees the plain of Jordan. This would have been somewhat to the southeast. And he sees that it was well watered everywhere. Now we're reminded here, this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, which changed the landscape drastically. But before that happened, it was a well-watered plain. There were springs that were pouring up. The ground was fertile, and we're given this description, like the garden of the Lord. And I think here the point is that we're to think back to the Garden of Eden. You see, Lot is looking at this, and he's looking, as it were, for Eden on earth. He says, oh, look at this. It's like the garden of the Lord. But the garden of the Lord was lost, and it was going to be restored through Abram and through the promises and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Lot says, I'm going to leave Abram. I'm going to leave the promises of God, and I'm going to go look for earthly happiness because it looks good to my eyes. And so he chooses foolishly. He chooses to depart from Abram, the man blessed of God. He chooses to depart to the east, we're told. Then in verse 11, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from one another. Now it's important to understand what this direction is telling us. In Genesis 3, after the fall, Adam and Eve are put out of the garden and put to the east. When Cain kills Abel and is put further from God's presence, he travels to the east. And so in the Bible, eastward constantly signifies a distance from God. And here we see Lot going east. That's why in the temple and coming back into the presence of God and coming into the Holy of Holies, the people will come from the east into the west, back into God's presence. So Lot here, as it were, turns his back on Canaan, turns his back on Abram, the blessed of God, and turns his back, as it were, on God. And what does he replace that promised land with? A land filled with sin. We're told that. We're told that he pitched, in verse 12, pitched his tent even as far as Sodom, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Already he had his heart set on that city. And later on, as we look at what happens to Lot in Sodom, we'll see where that leads him. As I thought about this, and I thought about Lot lifting up his eyes and seeing this well-watered land, I thought about the phrase, the grass is not always greener on the other side, is it? See, Lot is looking by sight, not by faith. And later on, we'll see what will happen to his son-in-laws. We'll see what happened to his daughters and his wife because of this choice. So I think it's important to understand, especially parents, as you make decisions, where you're going to live, where you're going to go to church, the things you're going to engage in, understand that you're having impact upon generations. We must be wise about making these decisions. But even though Abram graciously offers this division, even though Lot then selfishly takes this, we see that it is God who is ordaining this all for his own purposes. They separate, and then in verse 14, the Lord speaks to Abram after Lot had separated from him and says, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Now it's interesting here, Abram is told to lift his eyes. Now before Lot lifted his eyes and he looked, now Abram is told, lift your eyes and look now at what I am giving you. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward, I will give this to you and to your descendants forever. Now it's important to see that in God doing this, he's finally then made the break from Abram's family. Remember, Abram was told to separate from his family, but Lot comes with him. Now maybe Abram was thinking, Lot's going to be my heir. But God says no. Lot is not going to be the one. Lot's descendants are not going to share the promised land with your descendants. I will provide a descendant from you for you. So as it were, this is the last tie with his father's house being severed. And it forces Abram to rely completely upon the promises of God. You know, Abram may have been thinking, well, I still have Lot. He could be my heir. But now Abram has to rely completely upon the promises of God. No, I will provide for you a descendant. So, as it were, his descendants are separated. The seed problem is taken care of. It's going to be Abram's seed, Abram's descendants that inherit the promised land. And notice Abram is told to look around. This is the promised land. Lot, looking with his eyes, chose an earthly paradise. But God says, Abram, lift your eyes and look. I'm going to show you a heavenly promise. Not simply this land, but ultimately all the earth. All the earth is mine, and all the earth is going to be given to my people. See, what God is showing Abram here is that my promises are infinitely better than anything that you can see with your eyes, anything that you can hope for. And that's the attitude that we need to have. We need to say, God, your promises are greater than anything else that we can see. Because there are going to be a lot of things that are going to come into your field of vision and try to grab your heart and say, look at me, this is what you want. Say, no, I want what God wants. I want what God has promised, not what the earth may offer. And so he tells him not only to look to the left and the right, but north, east, west, and south. Look all around. I will give you this forever. Now, this forever is not to say that this land is given to an ethnic Jewish race forever in the Middle East, but that God is saying, I am going to give not only this land, but all of the earth to my people in the new heavens and the new earth. And that's why Christ, when he came, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. So in other words, unbelievers are living in borrowed territory. And we are to regard the earth as ours. But like Abram, we don't possess it yet. But we will. And so when you go out, when you speak to individuals, when you evangelize, do so with confidence that God goes with you. Do so as those who speak and testify that God is over all right now. And God is bringing everything under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to his glory. And so then, as God ordains this division, he does so to cause Abram to trust in his promises. Again, everything is taken away from Abram. He has no family there. He has a wife who is barren. And he's in a land occupied by foreign peoples. God says, you're going to have to trust in me. But don't worry. My promises are good. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. All of those things I promised to do for you, Abram, to bless you. And in verse 16, he says, this is how I'm going to do it. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Now, you think about this word picture. Sand is used elsewhere. But think about going out and trying to count the bits of dirt. It's impossible. And that's the promise that God makes to Abram. Yes, your wife is barren. Yes, you have no son. Yes, Lot just left. But I am going to make your descendants as numerous as the dust of the earth. What a challenge to his faith. And yet Abram receives this promise in faith, doesn't he? He's told to walk the land, verse 17, through it in its length and its width. This should remind us back when Abram first entered the land from the north and he walked, planting the flag, so to speak, over the land. Now he's told to walk again in the land, for I give it to you. And in verse 18, then Abram, in obedience, moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Now, Hebron, we're told he dwells there in contrast to Lot dwelling near Sodom. Hebron was probably about 20 miles south of Bethlehem. And this place, Mamre, is going to be the chief center of Abram's life from this point forward. In fact, this is going to be where the cave at Machpelah is purchased, where he will be buried, where many of the patriarchs will be buried. But notice what he does. How this chapter ends. He built an altar there to the Lord. He comes into the land with worship, And after God speaks to him and makes these promises, he worships God. Thank you, God, for this promise. And he does so in the midst of a land of idolatry. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were there. And yet he proclaims God in the midst of that place. And really, that's what we do, don't we? Do we live in a land filled with idolatry? Absolutely. But we gather here on the Lord's Day to proclaim the Word of God, the truth of God, the glory of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to all who will hear, just as Abram did. Because this is the means that God is going to use to bring about his purposes in the world. And Abram understood that. And so as we think about this chapter, the real focus is on this separation that happens and where Abram is going to dwell. Abram comes into the land with Sarai, with Lot, with great possessions, so much so that the land cannot hold them. Their shepherds are fighting amongst one another, and Abram says to Lot, "Let us have peace. We are brothers." And in God's providence, Abram gives Lot the option to choose, and Lot chooses the east, not the land of Canaan. And of course, God is behind all of this, because God, in doing this, wanted to separate Lot from Abram so Abram would trust in his promises. So Abram then, through Sarai, would have Isaac. Isaac would have Jacob. Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, and ultimately, coming from them, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of this is given to Abram by a promise. That's all Abram has at this point, is the word of God. But that is enough, isn't it? In fact, it's wrong even to say that's all we have. No, that's all we need. God's promise and his word that says it will be so. But as we act on that, we need to act like Abram did. He left everything. And I think here he didn't try, as he did in Egypt, to work a deal, did he? He didn't try to come in and say, "Well, let me see how I can get the good land." No, he left it up to God. He learned his lesson, because he trusted that God had promised it would be so, and it would happen. And we know that through this redemptive history, that ultimately God works this out and brings the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, here, Abram is promised a small portion of land, but God is working all things to turn the entire earth into a Canaan, into a promised land. And we, along with faithful Abraham, those of us who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, are heirs to this great promise. May we look to that and look to our God who is faithful in all that we do. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, as we have seen, you are working all things together for the good of those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. You've worked out this particular issue in history between Abram and Lot to the good of your people, that you might bring about a great nation through Abram, and through that nation, particularly through the Lord Jesus Christ, his seed, would pour forth a blessing upon all the nations of the earth. And we thank you, God, that we who trust in Christ can lay claim to that blessing. God, help us and strengthen us that we might, like Abram, trust in your promises and in your word. And we ask it now in Christ's name. Amen.